Blog Talk Radio.
A Theory of Parenting on Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Theory of Parenting on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tammy Joyner. I am your host for the show. Today, we would like to talk about an interesting topic, and I know it's a teen parent show. And I know you may not think this particular show could apply to teens, but I want you to think very seriously about it and, you know, to know that it can happen to teens. And what we're talking about today is identity theft. We wanted to let you know that, you know, child identity theft happens, and it also happens to adults. So what did we do? We went to the computer, the internet, and we looked up some information, and we found a website, and we found a lot of websites, but we found at least one that gave us a lot of information and a lot of, statements and, just a lot of information on how to deal with identity theft. So we went to www.privacyrights.org/content/identity-theft. What to do if it happens to you? Pound 14. So what to do if it happens to you? And basically how it's hyphenated and worded. So the PRC, which is Privacy Rights Clearinghouse, gave a lot of information. So what they did was they gave a guide, and so the guide includes about 29 different fact sheet info. Suggestions for how to deal with your case of identity theft. So there's an introduction, and we'll go through that a little bit. It says this guide provides information to victims of identity theft, including instructions on how to regain your financial health and who to contact for more help. You must act quickly and assertively to minimize the damage. The Federal Trade Commission, FTC, offers a comprehensive one-stop resource which is www.identitytheft.gov, for identity theft victims. The site provides streamlined checklists and simple letters to guide you through your recovery process. It also enables you to create a personal recovery plan. So what I thought was awesome about this site is not only that it gives you an excellent introduction, and it was updated as soon as 2016, and they've been, working on the site, updating and giving more information on what to do in, this type of crisis. And they let everyone know that it can happen to teens, it can happen to infants, it can happen to adults. You know, any age group can experience identity theft. And they like to tell you that, it causes emotional stress. And there's a blue highlighted hyperlink where you can press that and, click on it, and you can go find out what to do about dealing with your emotional stress. It tells you never to give up and also to find a lot of resources. It helps to keep good records, and sometimes you're going to have to contact a lawyer. That's one of the checkpoints about identity theft, because sometimes you're going to contact everyone that you know to contact you to on the identity listings. But at the same time, you're going to have to contact a lawyer, because sometimes the identity theft could be too severe and too involved. And sometimes there are false civil and criminal judgments against your name, against your credit, against, anything that they may can obtain, your Social Security number. These things could be obtained in your name. So there's false civil and criminal judgments that have been passed by the courts that you have to get a lawyer to help you fight out of this type of identity theft. And there's also a victim statement. So if you've ever been a victim, there's also statements that you have to make. And if you ever been to a court and found out what, the person that was charged said in these false judgments, then, you have to make a statement back to the courts and to the credit bureaus, and, using a lawyer sometimes helps. Okay, and then there's medical identity theft. People making, using your medical history, possibly using your name to go ahead to the hospital and just say that we use the medical card, or we use you know, his name there, so that we could get health treatment. You know, so sometimes we have that type of identity theft. We have identity theft involving those you know. That was the highlighted situation for me. When you're in any type of care, and bank statements are opened in your name, and someone is like taking your money or something, you know, and they open things in your name fraudulently, saying that you're available with this amount. And then sometimes the identity theft from the household or from the family is that the fact that they're not going to give you back your money. So that's some form of identity theft from those that you know. And then there's also identity theft involving infants, where they use the infants to get a credit card, to get a telephone in their name, to get maybe, you know, some people have gone as far as buying cars and teenagers' names and different things like that, because the family needs, or because the family decided to use anything they wanted to use, you know, in this identity theft before the person is 18 years old. So even social security numbers and different type of, you know, credit and different type of driver's license and stuff have been established in, you know, teenagers and infant children's names. So you have to work really intense to solve identity theft when it involves people that you know, because sometimes the same household, same address, and just things that the other person wouldn't authorize or too young to authorize, you know, the others are doing it in their name. By the time they're established as an adult, their credit is ruined, they're not paying the bills, and, you know, it's been that way for, you know, too many years. So that's another way that identity theft happens to teens, happens to infants, happens to, you know, all type of, you know, children in all different developmental stages, because their parents, their grandparents, their guardians, their brothers, their sisters, you know, they use their names to get anything. They can get cell phones, anything. So be on the lookout for that. My name is Tammy Jordan. You're here at the Theory and on Blog Talk Radio, and we're talking about identity theft and what to do if this happens. So mostly you have to contact the police, make a police report. You have to contact the FTC. You have to contact, if it's a postal identity theft or someone, you know, stole a piece of mail, you have to contact the Postal Service. There's other, you know, people to contact, like the credit bureaus, sometimes depending on who's doing it, you know, debt collectors, maybe contact your bank, contact the Social Security office, contact the Internal Revenue, depending on what's missing, or the DMV, depending on what's missing, all these places have to be contacted. So then there was another point at number 20. It was like driver's license numbers misused. So just in case you have a driver's license and you hold your driver's license to yourself, you know, in your car or in your wallet or, you know, anywhere you secure it and carry it with you, your pocketbook, your purse, your, you know, your folder, in your cell phone packet, anywhere you secure your license, anywhere you secure your license, you have to make sure that you don't have license number misuses. So sometimes if someone gets a ticket, it has to be, you know, they can't get it in your driver's license number. If you don't have a photo on your driver's license, they can't go and use another elderly lady, you know, can't go out and use another elderly lady's driver's license just because there's no photo and they fit the description. You know, you can't do that. Driver's license sometimes go on voters' registration cards. They go on a lot of different things, so you can't have your driver's license misused in a lot of tickets, a lot of traffic violations, a lot of accidents. Even, you know, murders could happen if you let someone else, you know, use a car and, you know, crash into someone or run over a pedestrian. You can't have your driver's license misused, and sometimes it's used for identification purposes, and depending on what they're buying or, you know, what people are selling, you don't want your ID used in, you know, properties that's going to be used for anything, you know, against the law. So watch out for your driver's license when girlfriend and boyfriend or teenagers go out and they get a lot of credit cards together, they get new cars, they get a new apartment, someone gets thrown out, they don't do anything but go back home, they don't alert police that I'm not there, even though I was on the lease, I might run in and out, but I don't live there anymore, they use my Social Security card, they use my, you know, ID, driver's license or state ID, whatever it is, you know, everything has been used and I'm not in that property anymore. I can't be responsible for what goes on here. I need to make this police report. Everything has to be reported to the police. student loans. Some people have used other people's names to get student loans. When that happens, you have to go to the school, you have to go to the police, you have to go to, Department of Education and let everyone know that you didn't take out the particular loan and that you have, if you have idea who did it, you know, you have to report that. And if you can't report everything but can report, you know, can prove that you didn't do it, then all of that has to be done. Phone services, just like I was talking about before, AT&T, Sprint, cell phones, house phone, landline phones, all type of computer phones, you know, anything that requires ID, credit cards, and everything like that. A lot of people are misusing that. They're getting them in other people's names. So if it's a government-issued phone, sometimes, like, if you have one per house, this is not misused. If you have a government phone with the free minutes, if, you know, four people live in the house and you loan the phone to, you know, the youngest in the house or someone's phone breaks and you give them the emergency phone, that's what the phone is for, to use it for, because they issue sometimes one to a household. So if, you know, the emergency phone is, you know, issued to the household, anyone can that in the household that, you know, is, you know, authorized to use it or, you know, approved to use it or has permission to use it, then, you know, that's the permission that you can give with their phone. But on a service phone like that, if you get too many to a household, then that's what they're saying, too, that that could be misuse of, you know, a government issued, you know, if it's food stamps, Medicaid, or a check issued from the state, TANF, anything like that. If you use this to get more than one, then that's misuse of phone service identity theft if someone put it in your name. So you can't even give, you know, multiple phones to the house. You can't. If you don't want anything in your name, someone puts a cell phone in your name, then you're not responsible for all these things and you have to report it. Passports was another issue. You can't let anyone use your passport to go in and out of the country, okay? The Internal Revenue, that's like when you do your taxes and your wages. People can't work under your name. You can't have a job with any of these people in another name. You know, can't use your ID for anything. So then we have Social Security number misuse. You know, just like we explained before, you can use your Social Security number to secure just about anything. And so if someone tells you or didn't tell you and you check your credit report and you find that there's a national system or worldwide system and you're not just using Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, and you find your credit report is outside of that and they have, like, all sorts of things in your name and you didn't do it, you have to get that credit report. You have to, like, start going and digging up everything you did do, and then everything that you didn't do, you have to report it to each agency, and you can go online, find out what to do. It, depending on each situation, you have to report to different departments of the government, and when you do that, you'll, you know, find the safety and security that you need, and when you're ready to buy a house or a car, you won't have this bad credit. And there's also the Secret Service. They help in credit fraud, and they help in banking fraud. They help when you have a large amount of money or a large estate. It depends on the value of what you are missing or who misused your name, if you can get the Secret Service involved. So if it's a major, like, fraud, or, you know, if it's a major purchase, you know, the Secret Service can get involved if someone misuses your name, but they usually like to go with a certain number before they get involved. Fraud involving U.S. mail, you have to report it to the mail system. Sometimes they can find missing mail. Sometimes they track it to different businesses and say, like, I know the carrier for that business. I know that route. You know, I know him specifically who delivers the mail there. And if he say that he put that mail on that desk or in that basket and delivered to that person on that day, we scan things. And so if they have a scan number, that can be reported, and then they'll have to say there was inter-office, you know, misuse, or somehow they lost the inter-office. Sometimes you'll just get everything coughed up because they do a lot of scanning for the people that walk the mail to your house. Okay, so brokerage accounts, some of those things, you know, you have to report it to the appropriate agencies. They have ATM and credit card, debit cards as well. So if you have a debit card, you're not pulling out the money, pulling out your money off your card. I have a debit card. It's a direct card. It's from the Social Security system. I have a disability. Someone stole $29.95 from me last month, and I reported it to the credit card company. They did the dispute, but normally you don't have to sign a form. They sent me the form, and now the form is lost in the mail. So I had to report that. And hopefully the mail will be forwarded from Texas back to New Jersey, and that way I'll be able to sign the dispute and get the money back. Okay, so checking and banking is as well. Someone writing checks in your name, you have to report it to the banks. You have to report it to the police. You have to, you know, report it to, you know, everywhere that they tell you to report it so that you can have all bases covered. Debt collectors, if you have debt collectors that say things are in your name, they're sending you medical bills that you didn't create. They're sending you all type of mail talking about you had all type of, you know, ultrasounds and you had a lot of sonograms and you had all type of, you know, repairs. If you didn't do it, you know, you have to let them know that this is possible, that there's another Tammy Joyner somewhere in Georgia and maybe she did these things, you know what I'm saying, or maybe someone else, you know, to, you know, use my name, or maybe in my household my parents have misused my name or lost my mail or misplaced my mail. Maybe we have to, like, discuss things to that extent and learn how to move on so that we don't have these issues. Okay, so also existing credit accounts, if you didn't make a charge, you have to let the charge company know that you didn't make the charge, do a dispute, and then they can say that, you know, you didn't do it, and that will be, you know, someone else using a secondary card or someone else that didn't have authorization at that time to use the card or authorized them $500 and they spent $1,000. You know, that was identity theft. You know, you can't use more money than you're authorized to use. You can't take more money out of the bank than you're authorized to take out. You know, these are the things that are identity theft with people that you know. They also have new credit cards accounts. If you didn't authorize anyone, you usually do it every time. But maybe, you know, your wife tells you that you're going to get a card every time, but one time she went out and got an expensive card and both of your names didn't tell you, didn't give you your card, and now, you know, you're sitting there with a lot of charges that they want you to pay half on and you don't want to pay half on. You don't want to, like, break up with your wife over this, but if you decide that, you know, the bills are too high, it's taking you out of your budget, but for whatever reason you want to get, you know, mad about it, then that's the case. Identity theft is probably causing divorce if you told on her, but at the same time, if the, you know, astronomical bills are high or, you know, anything like that. She was cheating at another location, you know, bought another apartment. You didn't know what was going on. She was spending on her lover, bought three, you know, small cars for about $3,000 each for her other, you know, young lovers, and then, you know, bought better cars for them than he bought for, you know, her, you know, someone the mostly primary, then, you know, these things are getting out of control, and this is a pattern for a lot of, you know, breakdowns in relationships. My name is Tammy Jordan. You're here on A Theory of Parenting. We're talking about identity theft, how to protect yourself as a consumer, empowering yourself and protecting your privacy and your credit. There's a lot to do with credit and fraud, you know, and a lot to do with identity theft, and that's like a fraud if someone is going to use your name other places. There's a point here about law enforcement. You have to go to the locals to let them know. You can go up a little higher in the government, you know, if, you know, depending on what you've lost and how much is valued at. FTC, identity theft affidavits are papers that you have to make statements on saying what you lost, how much you lost, and answer a few questions and tell, you know, your generalized story. Child identity theft will be there for you. Sometimes children have, you know, accounts in their name. Sometimes they have, you know, credit in their name. Sometimes their parents, they have the phone in their name, you know, at the landline. So sometimes you have to do a security freeze, and that much is there, freeze all accounts, and, you know, tell, you know, and report everything. And you have to monitor your credit reports and monitor the credit bureaus. So that's our show for today. We just wanted to let you know that if anytime anything gets out of control, and there's identity theft, even when it comes to impostering your faith, a lookalike, a brother that looks just like you, you know, a cousin that looks like you, the guy down the street that dresses and looks like you, your gang, and you all can wear the, you know, the same hair, the same dress, the same outfit, you have everything the same. Identity theft, you know, at this level, if they commit a crime, you have to make sure that you report, you know, where you were or what you were doing, who you were with, and outside of that, if you go through toll booths, and you go through different checkpoints. If you stopped at McDonald's and had a sandwich, that's why it's good to get these promo items I'm telling you about. If you stopped at McDonald's on your debit card and had a sandwich, you have, you know, your debit card there. You have proof of, you know, time frames. Where were you at this time frame? I was having McDonald's. Here's my receipt. You know, I went through the toll booth. I was visiting a girl. This is the toll booth. If you got there, she wasn't home or something like that, still you have these things to say where you were and accountable for. Stopped at the gas station, paid $5, you know, for the gas that, you know, gas station man saw me. So, you know, good enough that, you know, these things can be accounted for through shopping and having, you know, credit cards with you, paying cash, having personal eyewitnesses, stopping and speaking with your parents because they, so that they can see you all day or, you know that they spend a certain amount of hours with you, stopping at your local favorite places so someone can say that he was with me eating dinner, you know, at, you know, at our favorite Jamaican restaurant, a soul food restaurant, or, you know, any place, you know, at the mall, you know, shopping, you know, worried about this and that, or getting my hair done, you know, or at the hospital, you know, at crisis or, you know, for a small infection, you know, anything is better than standing around saying that I don't have any accountability for where I was and that a story could fall through if anybody else is threatened, you know, and they want to cast the blame on someone else. So, you know, be careful for imposters of identity theft, too, and never loan out your school ID. Put those away in your scrapbooks. Never let anyone find out your Social Security number. Hold your birth certificate. Hold your Social Security card. Never trust people that have done you wrong in the past, even if they're family members. And, you know, to the point of getting, you know, in some type of, you know, illegal trouble or unlawful situation. So that's our story for this time. Until next time.